On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina.
All right, everybody, I'm here with Danny Escobar, the Los Angeles Angels organization. Danny, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Thank you, Chris. So I started off and have been with the Angels for the entirety of my pro baseball career. Got the gig just out of pure luck, basically, out of college. My buddy from high school was drafted by the Angels, then became a hitting coach for them. Heard about an opening with a position in Arizona. And then from there, it kind of just went off and took off to where I am now. Before this, I kind of just worked with high school populations, mostly baseball, football, track and field, and volleyball. A lot of it being focused around football and volleball. But I mean, this was the first sport that I played when I was younger. So as soon as I could hop on the chance to work with like a pro baseball, you know, environment, I jumped on it.
Of course, man. That's kind of how we all were, right? Like we played the game growing up and then we weren't good enough to play. So we started working with the athletes instead of being the athletes. So you mentioned the position you're in now, which you just recently got promoted to the return to play coordinator. So first, congrats on that. That's awesome. Just for any listeners that don't know what that is, I'm sure most of them do, but just in case they don't, can you kind of go into what your role entails and how that fits into the big picture of either strength and conditioning or sports medicine or however you want to call it?
Yeah. So the exact title is the return to performance coordinator. And so what that kind of entails is that we kind of wanted to focus around the training aspects and the competitive aspects when it comes to their rehab process. We felt that if we could get these guys back not only healthy but stronger, more resilient in a sense, and then also performing better than what they came in, then, you know, instead of doing them a simple service of like, oh, you feel good now. Now it's more like, you know, instead of them missing a beat or feeling as they're falling behind, you know, we can get them back without this sense of, you know, like playing catch up. Within the whole scope of things, that's kind of where we're trying to head towards, is just making sure these guys, you know, can take care of what they have to do to make sure that they're healthy, both physically and psychologically, without them feeling as if they're missing a beat from the competitive standpoint of the environment.
So you're kind of becoming a middleman between a lot of different people, and making sure the players get the most out of that process. So that's really good, man. So, what differences do you expect to see between being a coordinator now and spending the previous years at an affiliate, and what challenges do you expect to arise in this new position for you?
The changes I expect to see, I mean, I'm kind of running into them already, and this being really my first full month in the position, but it's more of like the behind the scenes workload. One thing that I kind of had a feeling of midway through the month was, you know, when I was at an affiliate or when I was working directly with a team, you know, it felt like I was always, you know, engaged with the athletes first, and I was in the weight room and in the training room, and then from there I could go back and take care of all the computer stuff, all the entry stuff and whatnot. Whereas now I feel like the tables have turned. Like now, you know, I'm getting all this stuff behind the scenes done first, and that's what has to be taken care of. And then secondary will come, you know, the uh, the in-person, you know, details with the athletes in the weight room. I think that's kind of going to be a challenge for me because, I mean, everyone I feel like kind of gets into strength and conditioning because they don't want to sit behind the desk. You know, they want the cool gig where you get to wear a shirt and shorts and be in a weight room and crank up the music and whatnot and be in a, you know, just always competing, always being challenged in that sort of way. But I mean, it's great because what I hope kind of comes out of this is that, like I said, we help guys feel healthier and they're performing better. And then the behind the scenes stuff is just going to be how do we continue to make our program as a whole, not just, you know, the return to performance side of things, even better. So.
Yeah. I've always like really enjoyed the shorts and t-shirt thing and seeing other coordinators just kind of sitting in the office and like almost puppy dog face looking at the guys that working with the players and like, oh, I'm doing the paperwork. I really would rather be out there with you. So that part I don't envy, but the concept as a whole of coming back with better performance, that's really cool to hear. So in specifically you in this position, what do you think you will need to do to be successful? Is it communicate with players and staff, motivate, educate? What do you have to do to be successful in this role?
I mean, I think all of the above, as you just mentioned. None of this works if all I do is come up with the world's greatest program, but then I don't get the players to buy into what I'm trying to do. Or if I just, you know, throw it at them and just say, here it is, just make sure you stick to it. There's obviously going to be, you know, that aspect of communicating to them. And what I do like about it is that hopefully, you know, throughout the year, I don't have to deal with an entire team of 25 guys, you know, pitchers and position players, but I kind of stick to a smaller group and I can be a little more individualized, not only in like their program, but also the way I approach them. Cause I feel like that's going to be a big part of it is dealing with an injury. You don't have the best mindset sometimes. So I feel like that's a huge part of what they're going through. Communication within the staff side of things is going to be huge as well. Like, I mean, I can, like I said, I can put together the world's greatest program if based on what I think will work. But if I have no communication with my affiliate staff, then the guys will go back to them and there might be, you know, some disagreement. Oh, well, you know, I was doing this when I was in Arizona, or, you know, that's going to be huge for me to be able to transition them into what I'm doing here and then over back into the affiliate.
That's great, man. Yeah, the communication plays such a big role in everything, and if something slips through the cracks, players tend to pick that out, and like you said, they go somewhere else and they're like, well, I didn't do this here. So putting everything on the same page and making sure guys understand. And I also like what you said about individualizing approaches to players. Because everybody kind of takes injuries a little bit differently. Some guys are motivated to get back. Other guys are frustrated that they are injured. And some guys just have almost given up hope. So that's a very good point that you bring up. So in general now, big picture, what do you believe makes a strength and conditioning coach successful in the big picture?
In the big picture, I mean, to me, like success is like, it's so subjective. I mean, it's, you can always bring it down to, especially in the college side of things, like the salary. I mean, you can definitely see some guys who have made it and they're getting paid very well to do the same job that anyone else is doing within the weight room. But I think like that's oversimplifying it. My biggest thing is that, do you come into the workplace and do you go into your office and in the weight room and at the start of your day and even at the end of your day, you know, do you see your passion being fulfilled? I remember when we, you know, it kind of, you made a point of saying that you liked what I said when we had a phone call earlier that I was talking, we were talking about how it's a new position, how I'm dealing with it. And I was telling my girlfriend how, like, I came home one day and I told her everything that I had to go through with that in that one day, with just behind the scenes and behind the desk and in the weight room with the players. And she saw how I was kind of like just stressing over these things. But I told her, you know, I'm stressing over a good reason. You know, I'm stressing because I love what I'm doing right now and I want to do the best job possible within the position that I have. It's not because like it's such a huge workload or it's, you know, my boss is breathing down my neck about a deadline or something like that. It's because, you know, what I want to do is driving my passion forward right now. And I want to do it to the best of my capabilities.
That's so true, man. You come home and your significant other's there and you're just complaining or just airing everything out. And they're like, so why do you do it? And you're like, I love what I'm doing. It's just those are the stresses of the job. But it's like you said, it's not bad stresses. So I'm interested to hear your answer to this one. What do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
This took me a while to think about, just because I don't really feel like there's anything like from a methodology or your programming aspect of things that I think is crazy. But what I do think that a lot of people might disagree with me on is that I think that that the athletes themselves should have some say in their programming and their exercise regimen. At the end of the day, like, those are the guys that are doing the program and those are the guys that are going to see the results. And, I mean, it's the same thing with us. I mean, we have a pretty good amount of knowledge as to what we're doing. And if someone were to just say, hey, this is the program that you're going to do, and there's just no leeway into what's written on the sheet, then, you know, both, all of us are going to do the same thing and be like, why would I have to do this? Why can't I do this instead? Or, you know, these guys are fighting for careers, fighting for positions, you know, and I feel like they should have some say into what we're doing, even from like a big picture standpoint. Like, I could do as good of a job as I can to, you know, work with workloads and intensities and whatnot, but if one day these guys come in and it's like, hey, like, I'm hanging or I'm sore, then, you know, what is it? It's not going to help them to just dial it up again and crank out the hard workout that day again. So,
yeah, one of the things that I've always been told is that you know your own body better than anybody else, and I've kind of thought of that approach with working with athletes. Like, when they tell you something, they know their body better than you do. It's their body, and like you said, it's their career. So if they have some input, they're probably going to buy in more than if you're just arguing with them and giving them what they have to do. So I'm right there with you on that one. That's really good, man. So what advice do you have for others in the field, either young guys looking to move into coordinator roles like yourself, or older guys who have been around a while who are just looking for some knowledge, or anyone in between? What advice do you have?
I'd say just be open to things. One of the things I'm trying to get back into is I've been lucky enough where I had what I feel was a great high school strength coach. And now he's working at a junior college doing a lot of exercise physiology classes. Is that, you know, he was great in informing me in what he was trying to do, and I was completely bought into what he was doing. So when I came into this, like, as soon as you get your bachelor's, you get your certification, you're like, I got things figured out. You know, I know what I'm doing. And then you work with people who are absolutely like geniuses and who are no doubt smarter than you. And you get to the point where you're just like, I don't know a thing. And so I saw it a lot on social media, where it's that Dunning-Kruger effect, where, you know, you start off and you have this just overconfidence in your abilities. And then as soon as you start getting, you know, exposure within the industry, and it's like, man, like, I don't know a thing at all. You know, I know what I know, but what I don't know, I have no idea. So that's the biggest thing I feel like is gonna help you out through your career, is just understanding that that the majority of things that, you know, surround our jobs, you know, we have no idea. We don't have the best understanding on. So always just continue to be learning. Just continue to just search other aspects of the job too. You know, everything can center around the weight room or on the field, but the athletes themselves, I mean, both from the mental side of things, how they socialize within the workouts and stuff like that, that's big. Like, that's going to be huge in terms of getting what you want out of the session.
It's funny that you mentioned the effect there. I was just reading a book the other day, and it mentioned it in the book, and I was like, man, that was so painfully true. Like, you think you know everything when you first start, and then the more people that I talk to on this podcast and just out in general, I'm like, man, I have no knowledge compared to these people, and I need to just soak it all in. So great advice, man. Really good advice. So kind of along those lines, continuing to be open and learning, where are you going for continuing ed? Are you reading books, listening to podcasts, attending seminars? Where are you going to keep up on your knowledge?
I'm trying to do as much of everything as I can. I mean, you know, even outside a coordinator position in a Philly position, you don't have the luxury of a ton of time outside of the organization. So whenever I do have a chance to go to a seminar, to go to conferences, I try to take advantage of it. I had the opportunity to go to the coaches conference last year in Nashville, Tennessee. And that was amazing. That was probably like you're just bombarded with 3 days worth of just geniuses just laying it all out there and helping you out. If anyone has the opportunity to attend even one of those throughout their career, like it's one of the most wonderful things I've ever been to. Podcasts. I have the luxury now. Like, I'm looking at it as a positive way that at a minimum I have a 30-minute drive to work. Like, in traffic, it sometimes balloons up to an hour. So I try to squeeze in whatever thing I can. I mean, I listened to yours. I got a chance to listen to Ryan Fair, who I had the opportunity to meet at the Skills Acquisition Conference that Rob Gray held just last year. Bob Alejo, the two-part conference of that one, that was awesome. And then just anyone who just sort of piques my interest. Mike Boyle. I know there's a lot of people who aren't his biggest fans, but he's been around for the longest time. He's done something right. Just one that I've liked a lot that doesn't directly correlate is Hidden Brain. It's just a lot of like social and psychological just studies and just research that they've done. It's an NPR podcast. And just there's a lot of just interesting things that I feel like applies to what we do with just a person-to-person, you know, relationships.
That's the beauty books. Of podcasts, man. You can pick anybody you want to listen to or anything. So
yeah,
I'm going to have to check out Hidden Brain. What do you got for books? What are you reading right now?
Books, I'm still going back and forth on Conscious Coaching by Brett Bartholomew. Like, just, I think it's just a great tool in terms of just helping you communicate with people. Like, it's something that I'll just open up whenever I have someone who I might like be struggling communicating with, or someone who I feel like is going through something, maybe just a better way to relate with them. Legacy by James Kerr. I got a chance to read that before the season started last year. That's awesome. I think that has to be like a go-to book for anybody working in sports or with teams. You know, the whole thing about sweeping the sheds, and one that really hit me hard was just leaving something better than you found it. That I mean, just does wonders to what you're trying to establish in terms of culture. And then I'm gonna butcher this. I know I am. I try to look up the exact pronunciation, but it's Descartes' Error by Antonio Damasio. So what that one's all about is he goes over like the case studies of Phineas Gage and how damages to like the prefrontal cortex, like basically took his ability to emotionally connect to any decisions that he had to make in his life. And so the whole book right now, I think I'm like a third of the way through it. It's kind of just going off of we talk about how you have to take your emotions out of decision making so that they're logical decisions. But his argument is that they're absolutely necessary for you to be able to make rational decisions. Because if they're just purely based on logic, like, you're not going to get anywhere in the world. So that one's like super interesting. I'll let you know how that goes once I finish that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you should text me the name of that one just so that I don't butcher it either trying to search for it. I'll definitely order it. I just recorded one of these the other day, and conscious coaching came up in that conversation also. And so that one is like on the way to my house. It's coming this week, so I'm excited to start digging into that one. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
What I liked about it a lot was just that it's something you can apply. Like, a lot of books are just going to be a lot of like just theory and the philosophy about it, but no, this one is just, it goes over that at the beginning, and then from there it's just like, you know, here's what I see, here's an example of how coaches have dealt with it. Yeah, it's great.
Cool, man. Yeah, I'm really excited to dig into it. So I'll let you know how that one goes. We'll have a book exchange. Yeah. But all right, man. I'd like to do a lightning round. I know it's Saturday night and you might have something to do. You're slaving away at work. But if you got time, what do you think about a lightning round?
Go for it, man.
All right, cool. Four questions. First one, who is your biggest influence in the strength and conditioning field?
Biggest influence. I'm going to go with, I personally feel like I'm a product of the people I have around me. So I'm just going to start just name dropping people around me and then big people in the industry. So my high school strength coach, Derek Drumtra, I've learned so much from the two strength coaches I've had around me throughout the years. So Adam Maurer, our AAA strength coach, Adam Smith, our high A strength coach now, Lee Fiocchi, Ryan Croton, and then within the industry, like, I'm a big fan of Brett, John Rusin. I mean, anybody right now who's out there who's just Matthew Ibrahim, he's a big one who right now I just got on with the whole rehab side of things. So I'll stick with those for right now.
Okay, good. That's a good list, though. Second one, one piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
If I had to choose just one?
Just one piece for yourself.
The kettlebell.
Kettlebell? Okay. That's a pretty popular one. The kettlebell and the barbell are like the two most popular ones. So, third one, biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
The first one I had to go with is just, I haven't done enough like family research, but I'm pretty sure that I'm the first one in my family to go to finish a 4-year university and get my bachelor's degree. And then after that is getting this position professionally. Personal accomplishment. I don't even know where to go with this. I'm gonna go with I kept the girlfriend around during a full season affiliate job.
Easier said than done, honestly. So that is an accomplishment you cannot overlook. Last one, any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
Any career other than strength and conditioning. Especially like, I mean, what a lot of the conversation is centered on right now. If I were to go back, I'd do something with psychology. Like, just seeing how much like of the mental side of things, like, you have to deal with and, you know, it comes into play with just the, what we do within our jobs. Like, yeah, absolutely. I'm just now so interested in how people respond to things and their thought processes. Yeah, definitely something within psychology.
You'd follow the exact same path, except you'd be a mental skills coordinator instead of an RTP. But no, nah, man, yeah,
I'd hope so.
I appreciate your time, man. Like I said, I know it's a Saturday night and you're at work still, but if the listeners want to get in touch with you, where can we learn more from you? Are you on social media or where can we get more from you?
Yeah. I mostly just retweet stuff. I'm not going to give you a lot of my personal thoughts here and there. I'll mix stuff in. But you can find me on Twitter. It's Daniel Escobar, Escobar, like Pablo, like the Colombian drug trafficker. and then it's the same thing on my Instagram account. Same thing. Like I'll post pictures here and there of stuff on the job, but mostly it's just my personal life kind of things. And you can reach me on there. And, if you want to get more of a contact on there, like I can give you my personal information if you just DM me or message me on that.
I'm pretty sure it was you on Instagram. You had like this really cool picture the other day. You were like sitting out in the mountains or something like that. Was that you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I thought so. I saw it and I was like, man, this is cool. I got to bring it up on the podcast. But
yeah,
nah, man.
Was, me and my buddy, we had an opportunity before Christmas to go out hunting, and yeah, that was out scouting for deer.
Okay, cool. Well, like I said, I appreciate you coming on and spending some time with me, and we'll be in touch soon.
Sounds good.
All right, man.
Thank you, man, for this.
Yep, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, everybody, that concludes our episode with Danny. I hope you enjoyed this one. He shared a lot of good information about his new position that he's stepping into and had a lot of good advice on how to be successful. Three things that I took from Danny: allow athletes to have a say in their program, individualize programs and approaches for players, and be open to trying new things. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.